Well, where do I start? I've got two stories I want to tell you about. The majority of you know that Peter and I were in Australia during the second term holidays in April. The day we were to come home was the 28th of April, and word for the day was so specific, and I was reading it, and I said to Peter, this is just so much like Daniel. Daniel, our second grandson in Perth, is ADHD. He's just turned 21, and that was partly the reason why we were there. He's been very hard work. His mum has prayed over the family, Psalm 91, for years. So, anyway, I said to Peter, I said, I've got to go and pray for him. I've got to go and pray for him. And I roared off to his bedroom, and I'd picked his pillow up, and I was weeping and crying into it and asking God to move in his life and to speak to him and have him give him dreams that he would really know that God was real in his life. And he struggled against him all these years. And about 6 weeks ago or more, I had a phone call from his mum, and she said, Mum, Daniel's had an encounter with God. Now, that's all they know. They don't know anything else than that. He hasn't shared it, but he has visited their youth group leaders. And they've said to Lorraine and Peter at church, they said, gosh, you must be delighted with what's happened to Daniel. And I said, well, we know nothing. Anyway, Lorraine and Daniel were watching TV one night, or one day, or whatever, and the next thing, Daniel leans over to his mother and he says, he's real. Just tapping his chest. He's real. And so that was, you know, enough for them. The second story I want to tell you about, and I just have to know that we've just got to leave Daniel. And he's anyway, at the beginning of September, we were in Auckland and for a family celebration. And the kids were playing and the families were, cousins and uncles and aunts and friends were all talking, and I thought, oh God, who am I going to talk with? I haven't got anyone to share with. It's just a little, one of those little prayers that you pray. Desperation, I suppose. Anyway, I noticed Peter was talking to a gentleman in the corner, and I just went and sat down. And this gentleman he came and sat down at the table beside a little table and in the corner of the room, and he said, what made you come to Raglan? And I said, oh. Well, I said, I should have said God. But anyway, because it was a God move. And and I said, well, we got a job at the Christian camp up there. And all those years ago, those that were around then remember it. And And I said, we were there for 3 years, and then we got another job down in the Hawke's Bay and at another camp. And so we were there. So we just were chatting along, and he told me that that he was now living in a retirement home and or in a village. And he said that a couple of years ago he lost his eyesight. And I thought, lost his eyesight? Well, he walked over here beside me, all right. You know, this must be pretty good if he's blind. And then, he just shared that 6 months later, his eyesight came back on one eye. And he said, oh, did I know some people from Raglan? See Janice smiling. And it turns out he's been very good friends of Jim and Shirley Barsley for many years. And he's such a nice chap. And as we were talking, I said to him, I said, just put my hand on his arm and I said, would you mind if I just prayed for you? This is in amongst the kids roaring around and all the noise, everybody talking and stuff. So just together, he and I just had this little special time, just a little quiet prayer time where I just asked God to help him with his eyesight because he was concerned that he may not get his license next time he goes for it. And, you know, I thought, you know, that was just really basically that's what it was. And when he went to leave, because someone drove in there and he had to get driven home, and he just came to find me, put his arms around me, gave me a kiss on the cheek, and he said, thank you so much, I loved that. He said it was really special. So thank you. I've just got to leave those prayers in God's hands.
So we can step out even in a party. Gordy, you want to come on up and share? Yeah, so well done, Narina. And we probably need to keep praying for young Daniel too, your grandson. Yeah. Awesome.
Okay. My holy ground story is, I was quite a lot younger, but I'd gone through a really hard time, and I was looking to see where I'd get help from. And fortunately, I'd started to read the Bible a little bit, but I decided that I needed to go overseas, and I was getting my passport, and I knew that I had to see this old surfing friend of mine, who I'd heard had become born again, so I drove to Auckland to see him, and he wasn't there, and I went to drive out of the driveway, and it was like a voice said, just wait for him. So I waited. And when he came, he asked me how I was. I said, I was okay. And then he said, really, is everything all right? I said, no, not really. and so I shared a little bit with him. And he just straight out said to me, do you believe in God? And I said, yeah, I believe in God. He said, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And I said, yep. He said, do you know you can ask him into your life? And all the church stuff I'd been to, I'd never actually heard straight out, face to face, that you could receive the Lord into your life. So I just said, oh, I'd like to do that. So my holy ground moment was, he prayed, and then he stopped, and I thought, oh, I guess I have to say something here. and it was like, I liken it to knowing I had to take a jump, but I couldn't see what I was jumping into. And so I finally got over whatever it was, pride and fear, and I jumped, and I said to the Lord I wanted him in my life. I was sitting in a chair opposite Boz, my friend, and I felt this presence come on me from above, and it was like pins and needles and warm. It was like warm honey being poured all over me. And I thought, what is this? And it got so strong that I felt, if this gets any stronger, this chair's going to go through the floor. You know, it was so powerful. And I'd heard of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost and never knew who he was. But that was the first time. That was a real God encounter for me. That I knew the presence of God. And I that presence comes to me quite often. If I share about Jesus, I get that reassurance again. And God's word just says that Jesus wouldn't leave us alone. He would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so he's so faithful to his word. And I think he touches us all in different ways. But that's how my first encounter was like that.
Cool. Aren't these little nuggets of gold that we're getting tonight? Yeah, That's so cool. Thanks, Gordy. Maria.
Good evening, everybody. My Holy Ground experience was a few years ago now. It's about 10 years ago. And it actually consists of three events that happened in a period of about 5 months. And it was in spring 2005. And I was almost halfway in my pregnancy with our first child, man and our child. It was Artie. He's sitting there in the corner trying to hide. And at that time, I was still working on the farm. We had just milked the cows, and it was time to open up a paddock. So I hopped on my tour bike and went down the farm. And as I went down the corner and picked up speed on the straight, I failed to see the string across the race because the sun was shining in my eyes. It was in the morning. Sun was shining in my eyes. And I vividly remember the panic that struck my heart. It was like, oh, my goodness, you know, the string, what do I do? And also thinking, oh, this is going to hurt. And it did hurt. And as I was braking, my bike went sideways and my leg got caught underneath the bike. And once I was still and everything like that, once the bike was had come to a standstill, I must have yelled out pretty loudly because Martin came over pretty quickly to my aid to pick the bike off my leg. And apart from a few grazes on my face and on my hands, I had a hole about that size in my knee, and there was some skin and some flesh missing. And after I'd been to the doctor, they said, well, we can't stitch it together because there's not enough skin there, and it just has to kind of, you know, heal up from the bottom. It had to grow back in and stuff like that. So that's, you know, that's all fair enough. That's good. It was just the only thing, it was very sore. So as I was recovering on the couch, holding my leg straight because it was hurting so much if I would stand up, probably because of the blood pressure, and it was really hard to bend as well. So sitting on a chair was really hard. So I was being a really good couch potato, just hanging out on my couch. And but that did give me the time to contemplate how lucky we've been that if the handlebars would have hit me in the stomach, I could have lost the baby, which I didn't. Luckily, like, most of my body hurt, but the stomach area, that was fine. There was an area of protection there, which was really awesome. So fast forward a few more weeks, and after being such a good couch potato, that was probably the cause of it. A few weeks later, and we're not into summer yet, that's the last bit, but a few weeks later, my legs was healing great. But one night I got woken up by this tremendous pain. My leg was throbbing. It was just so sore. So the following morning I went to the doctor and they measured my leg up. And sure enough, there was a blood clot up high in my upper leg. So off to the hospital, got some blood thinners, got that sorted out. They monitored me to see if it wasn't traveling any further, if it was dissolving properly. And it was all going well. So after a couple of days I could go home. And again, I was thinking, like, wow, if it would have gotten dislodged while I was traveling to hospital or during the night, it could have gone somewhere else and it could have done some serious damage. So again, I was feeling really lucky, really blessed that, you know, nothing serious happened. I got safely to the hospital and the doctors helped me and it was all good. So, and after that, it was actually quite plain sailing. The pregnancy went really well. The baby was growing well. My leg healed up really well. And I got back to work again, so it was all good. And that summer, January, well, probably December, January was quite a hot summer with a lot of hot nights, warm nights. And those ones that are actually too warm to sleep, you kind of, you know, don't know where you have to get comfortable. And finally, early February, the night started cooling down and there was a chance for a decent sleep. So we were looking forward to it. Martin had already gone to bed and he was already off to the land of Nod. And I was wanting to go as well, but one thing was keeping me up. These practice contractions, what they call Braxton Hicks. And I'd never experienced them before, so I thought, well, you know, when are they going to stop? It's quite a long time now. I want to go to bed. And they didn't want to stop, so I rang my midwife. It was already closer to midnight. I can't exactly remember how late, but it was fairly late. And I thought, better just to ring her just to see if everything is going all right. And to make a long story a bit shorter, it happened that the baby was coming. He was on his way. And but there was no ambulance in Raglan to speed me to the hospital because, after all, it was only February and not early April. Ari was due early April, so he was only just over 30 weeks old. So woke Martin up again. Martin, you have to drive me to the hospital. And Martin said to the midwife, how fast am I allowed to drive? She said, as fast as you can, because if the baby comes in the car, it might need oxygen or it might get undercooled very quickly because it's so young. So Ari, before Martin finally got to put his rally driving, skills into practice, and he actually drove me into he drove me to the hospital. I'm pretty sure it was 25 minutes. It was really quick. Got there safely. Ari came after a couple of hours, and he was born 4 pounds and 1 ounce at 30 weeks and 6 days, which was actually quite a nice weight for such, for a young baby like that. And after a few days, he was breathing on his own as well because he first had to go in, incubator. Yeah, in incubator and on monitoring, and he had some assistance with breathing. But after a couple of days, he was taken off that and he was breathing successfully on his own. So that was the third time that I was really counting my blessings of what if, you know, the baby had come at home, or what if the baby had born in the car, or what if something would have gone wrong during labor? I mean, all these things go through your head, and I felt so blessed, and really that the Lord's hand was on our lives, protecting us. Also almost that, you know, that there's something special in Ari's life, that three times over, something could have happened and nothing happened. He was safe, I was safe. And so I think that was really special. And then I came across this psalm. I think it was in one of our previous readings from the week, from Psalms. Like, I go through the Bible in the morning and all the bits and pieces that you read. And it was Psalm 91, verse 9 to 13. It says, if you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High a dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Doesn't mean that, of course, you know, that we don't come across any trouble, but he's there to help us through it, to go through it, and, you know, to grow our faith and everything like that. And that's what he's certainly done with me. And there's, you know, plenty of other experiences, but I was only allowed 5 minutes, so that's my Holy Ground experience.
Awesome. Well done.